NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. Winning season continues at MyBookie, and they're now offering a free $20 bet with the promo code SGP20. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code SGP20 to get a free $20 bet with your first deposit. We're also brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a new daily fantasy sports app built specifically for player props. Download the app in the App Store and use promo code SGP for an instant deposit match up to $50. That's ThriveFantasy.com, promo code SGP. Sign up and prop up today. We're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay-per-head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. Okay, hello and welcome to NBA Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Rich Fat Baby McKee, and I am joined as always by Zach Swiss Bank Broner. How's it going, man? We were one day away from the NBA draft and things are getting real fucking exciting right now.
Yeah, things are getting absolutely crazy right now. You know, the last couple days on the Twitter timeline has been unreal. Although I will say I was just scrolling for some NBA news. I saw they introduced fleets. It's a new like Twitter story thing, which threw me off. But
well, I haven't even heard it yet. Okay.
Yeah. So get ready to look at some fleets potentially. Forget some NBA trade rumors. But yeah, just a crazy couple of days and a lot of moves and the draft tomorrow. So gonna be awesome.
There is so many different storylines to talk about in the NBA right now, but as you know, Zach and I are focused on NBA gambling. So we're going to do our best to keep our conversation to gambling specific topics. The draft is very exciting for gamblers, and the player movement right now in free agency also very exciting for different futures. So we're going to break down everything. This could go long. There's a lot to talk about, but we're going to first start with the NBA draft. Then we'll get into all of the free agency movement, and things might continue to change. We're recording this right now, noon Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday. This could continue to change by the end of today, so we're going to get this out as soon as we can. Make sure to join our NBA Slack at sg.pn/Slack. We're always in there talking about updated odds, things that Zach and I are missing. There are plenty of guys in there that don't miss anything. Our guy like Munaf, he's always on top of all of the news. So if you ever feel like you're missing out on NBA Twitter news, just join our Slack. You will not miss a thing. So Zach, anything you want to start off with right off the top?
No, I mean, I know you and I are both team, you know, the primary reason to be a fan is to watch the games and like appreciate the games. But I know there is this recent trend in NBA fandom, like everyone's all about the drama and the player movement.
Yep.
I have to say, it's absolutely undeniable how fun this stuff is. And I know me and you will still be here betting every game. That's our primary, you know, focus here, but this stuff is just so fun. And like, every time a new Woj bomb comes out or anything, it's just an absolute delight to follow this. And that got a little meta, but you know what I mean? It's just absolutely crazy what's going on.
Man, it is so crazy the amount of drama with superstars moving around these days. First off, I want to plug that I'm going to try to be doing a NBA draft live stream of sorts. There's this new app out there called Locker Room. It's has investors from Kevin Durant and there's a couple other NBA superstars that I'm blanking right now that have money in it. And it's kind of a mashup of podcasting and sports radio call-in shows where anybody can be doing a live stream and you can kind of bring anybody into it that wants to talk or ask a question or something like that. So I'm going to try it out tomorrow with some of the guys who did our NBA mock draft. I don't know. Did you see that yet, Zach?
Yeah, I saw you post about it. I haven't looked into it that specifically, but it sounds awesome.
Yeah. If you want to check it out, go to the Locker Room app. We're going to try to see if we can do it tomorrow. It might not work. Either way, I will put out some kind of podcast reactions after the draft tomorrow night. I'll try to get something late. I know some of the other guys, some of our other contributors like Nick Dant would love to weigh in and stuff. Zach, you know, you have school, so I don't know what you'll be able to do, but we'll definitely have some kind of post-draft analysis on top of all of this. So make sure to follow me on The Ryan McKee. I'll tweet about it. Follow Zach on NBA Zach B, and we'll make sure that you are on top of all of the content we are doing. So this morning I was listening to Chad Ford's podcast, and they were going through his NBA draft tiers for this draft. And he said that this is the first year since 2013 that he doesn't have any tier one players. And that means potential superstars. And he talks to a lot of different, this is not just his perspective. He talks to all the NBA front offices, all the NBA scouts, and none of them have a potential superstar in this draft. So that makes it really interesting for sports gamblers like us, because that means there are no sure things in this draft. So if you have a gut feeling on a bet you like, no matter what the odds are, you should just go ahead and bet it. Zach and I are going to talk about some of our favorite draft props right now, but it is all over the board right now.
Yeah, and that's so true. We still don't know who's the number one pick's going to be. We still don't know who, you know, what the Warriors are going to do. There still might be trades coming up quickly. So at the top of the draft. So look, I mean, we're going to talk about this. I would say probably the most certain pick right now looks like it's Patrick Williams at 7 to the Pistons. That's really the only thing that seems to be locked in about this draft. I had thought that LaMelo was locked into the first pick, so I'm maybe standing to lose some money on that. Now the reporting looks slightly different. I apologize if anyone, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't even think that Patrick Williams at 7 to the Pistons is a sure thing. I've saw rumors that the Pistons might still try to trade up and get LaMelo.
Oh, 100%. I meant like that's the closest thing to a sure thing, and that's not even a sure thing whatsoever.
Yeah.
And that's maybe 50% chance of happening, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's going to be totally uncertain.
Right. And we did an NBA mock draft with our contributors. Our mock draft, totally different than a lot of mock drafts out there. And we're not NBA insiders, but a lot of NBA insiders don't know what the fuck they're talking about either. I posted it on Reddit. I got all kinds of comments. I posted it in the NBA draft subreddit, where the hardcore NBA draft nerds are. And man, I got into some heated debates about Anthony Edwards. I said that I don't think that he has the potential to be a superstar. And man, did that piss some people off.
Yeah, he's definitely a very polarizing. I mean, all these guys are polarizing. I'm not that high on Edwards. I personally agree with that take. And I actually do think LaMelo Ball is a superstar of this draft. I'm still really, really.
He has the ceiling to be a superstar. He also, he probably has a lower floor than Anthony Edwards does too, but he has a much higher ceiling than any of these players.
Yeah, I think that. I think LaMelo's floor is maybe higher than you think. I mean, he's 6'7", really long, can really pass. So obviously there's a chance that he just never puts it together from a competitive perspective, and he is a bad teammate for his entire career, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I will be surprised if Edwards goes one. I mean, I guess, and it's just so – the D'Angelo Russell is not good enough to – anchor your team's draft strategy. I mean, we should get into some of these props, but that, to me, that's just a mistake. Like, D'Angelo Russell is not that good. Like,
yeah,
if LaMelo Ball is the best player in his draft, I'm very, very confident in that opinion. So I'm surprised if they do go Edwards. I think that's a mistake.
Yeah. Okay, so I just want to, because Chad Ford likened this draft to the 2013 NBA draft, I just want to remind some people, before we get into our props, who some of the top picks were and where the best player in that draft went. So number one overall, Cleveland took Anthony Bennett. He's out of the league. Even at the time, everybody thought that was a bad pick, you know?
Yeah.
So But I couldn't find the odds on what Anthony Bennett was to go number one overall, but I'm sure they were astronomical. You were cashing a huge ticket, which is, again, if you have a gut feeling, go ahead and bet it, because none of the experts, quote unquote experts or insiders, had Bennett going number one overall. Oladipo went number two, Otto Porter three, Zeller four, Alex Len five, Nerlens Noel number six. He was projected to go number one at one point, but had some injury problems and fell all the way to number six. You go down, and of course, the best player in this draft was drafted at number 15, Giannis. So if this draft is like the 2013, I have a feeling that the top guys probably won't be the superstars. It'll probably be some random guy we're barely thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think the odds are definitely in favor of that happening. I think there's definitely a lot of noise right now. Like, I think a lot of teams think that they can be the guy that they have the staff that can take a crazy athletic project and like develop their jumper. That's basically the bet that you're making. Like that was the bet with Giannis. I mean, his jumper hasn't come along, but they've developed his skill level a lot offensively. So you look at guys in the back end of the lottery, you know, your Isaac Okoros, your Devin Vassells, even your Killian Hayes, like you're willing to take a chance. And if the jumper does come along, they'll probably be a star. So that's kind of where the odds are that one of those teams will succeed in developing someone's jumper.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for a draft like this, I do think including our mock draft, don't bet any mock draft as if it's going to be dogma. You know, I would say that you should look at some of the experts like draft tiers rather than the mock drafts, because I just don't think any mock draft is going to be even close.
Yeah, I think you look at tiers and then you try to parse out reporting. I mean, I think that is how I try to bet these mocks, is like you're kind of parsing out the reporting, but a mock draft from some random dude is not reported. It's just him. It's just his ranking, you know?
Absolutely.
So I think, yeah, that's correct.
So I'm going to get into my first draft prop that I like, and then we can go back and forth or however this goes. We'll see how long we go on this, but I'm seeing freshman drafted in the top 10 over 4.5 is at plus 150. I feel like you're getting plus odds on five freshmen being drafted in the top 10. That feels pretty good to me. Let's look at the definites. You definitely got Anthony Edwards of Georgia, Weissman, Memphis, and Okongwu from USC. Will you disagree that those are all definites, right? Top 10?
Yeah, I think those are definitely locks. And keep going.
And then Isaac Okoro, I think that's very likely. At Auburn.
Yeah, and I think Okoro looks like he might be closing to a lock. Apparently the Knicks are, you know, somewhat angling for him at 8. I have a prop related to that, but Okoro I think will go in the top 10.
Okay, so right there you have four. All you need is one more. We already said that Patrick Williams, he is looking like if he falls to Detroit, they're definitely going to take him. There's sources right now saying he's worked out for Chicago. Patrick Roy, this guy, people really like his level of talent. He is a raw player, another player that teams can talk themselves into, like, oh, we can develop this guy. I think it's a very good chance he goes in the top 10. Where are you at?
Yeah, no, I'll throw it out now too. My first bet was Patrick Williams under 7.5 because I just think, unless you believe that the reports are patently false, that he has a promise from the Pistons, like, it seems like, you know, he hasn't worked out for anyone below them, I believe. He said he worked out for Chicago. He worked out for Golden State, too. But you have consensus reporting from not just the ESPN draft intel guys, but you had John Hollinger saying this as well. And various others that Patrick Williams is promised by the Pistons at 7. So, look, I mean, I could have egg on my face if that's a lie, or they could always make a trade. But like I said, I think the majority of times you simulate this draft, Williams goes 7 or higher.
Late fall college ball, the NBA bubble, UFC Fight Island. It is clear that 2020 has been a year unlike any other, which is why you need a sportsbook with offers unlike any other. Get some skin in the game with MyBookie, where odds boosts, lightning deals, and free bets await all season long. And with Turkey Day right around the corner, there is no better time to feast on some NFL action. Sign up or get reloaded today. Find an edge, make your bet, and get paid. Make the right play and sign up at mybookie.ag. And when you do, use promo code SGP to get your deposit matched halfway, all the way up to $1,000. The terms are simple. You put in $200 and they'll match you another $100 in your account. It's winning season at MyBookie, so join in on the fun and win some cash while you're at it. What do you think about Cole Anthony draft position? I'm seeing 20.5 at even odds under.
Yeah, I saw you had this one in our Google Doc. I don't really have a feel for it in terms of reporting. I obviously he's not a lottery guy. You're going to hear less about what he's doing. I'm not in love with Cole Anthony. I think he has the pedigree coming in from high school and the family name that he is the type of guy who might go higher on draft night, or NBA teams might fall in love with him. He obviously did he was pretty impressive, at every level, went to UNC, was pretty impressive, and then got hurt. So I don't know why his stock has fallen so much. If everyone thought he was going to be a top three pick, like you said, like you have written here. So
yeah,
I like under
this on Odd Shark. You know, coming into 2019, he was projected to be a top three pick. He got injured, a lot of problems, just not any off the court problems, but just had problems with getting his team to a certain level. And I still think that of the 20 teams, of the 20 spots picking, somebody has a good chance at even odds of talking themselves into Cole Anthony, who has really high potential.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like just looking at the odds, like, look, I think 20.5 is probably a pretty good number, but you're getting the even money on the under versus having to pay -140 to the over. So I think it's probably, like you said, not only is it probably more likely that this goes under, you're also getting a better price.
Yeah. Just because I hear people talking about him across, at all different levels, whenever that happens, there's a good chance somebody's going to talk them into it. Okay. What do you have next?
All right. So I'll go, already gave Patrick Williams under 7.5. I'll start off with a major long shot here, but one that I really like is specific player to be selected 4th overall, Tyrese Haliburton. And this is a 25-1.
Nice.
So that really, really, really long shot price, but I really like this play. I mean, look, there's been a good amount of reporting out there that the Bulls really like Haliburton, but they like him more in a trade down scenario. Obviously you're in that would screw up the player to be selected 4th overall prop, but now with them didn't pick up Chris Dunn's option, yesterday. So, they're already turning away young guard depth. Are they clearing out room for maybe a selection in the draft?
Mm-hmm.
It's been reported that this new Arturis Karniskovic coming over from Denver, the new GM in Chicago, he sees Kobe White as more of a combo guard. But keep in mind, he also didn't draft Kobe White. So, if you're new GM, new coach, they're going to want to draft their point guard of the future. I think if LaMelo Ball drops to them, he could definitely be in play there. Zach LaVine has been rumored in trade talks with Dallas. So with the reporting that they do really like Tyrese Haliburton, and he seems to be a guy that's been rising, supposedly an unbelievable character kid, would fit nicely with Billy Donovan. There's obviously more reasons why it won't happen than it will, but at 25-1, I think it's definitely in play at 4. So
yeah,
I like that play a lot.
I like that play as a long shot for sure. Okay, I'm going to go back to Anthony Edwards. He's very divisive. He's been all over the board. I'm seeing depending on what books you're looking at, and you know, we're all my bookie all the time, but my bookie pulled down their draft odds right before we started recording this, so they're redoing it. So we're looking at a couple of different books here, but I'm seeing Anthony Edwards under 1.5 at plus 130, and you can also, but then you see him at other places at like minus 110 to go first overall. There's a world where the Timberwolves just keep this pick and think about, okay, you know, we traded for D'Angelo Russell to make Cat happy. What's the best fit we could put with D'Angelo Russell so Cat can continue being happy? That's Anthony Edwards. You put him in the backcourt, the potential is, I feel like that's a pick that they can argue to their front office and to their fans. Sure, LaMelo Ball has much higher potential, but I do think Edwards can start from day one and they can talk themselves into this. So I still think there's a good chance that Edwards could go first overall.
Yeah, I think right now the consensus seems to be that he will go first overall. After last week, it seemed to be the opposite. I think I agree with you. I mean, look, if you're putting together a theoretical team, it makes a lot more sense to have an all-star wing, all-star point guard, all-star center in, or, I mean, theoretically, when you get there, like Russell, Edwards, Towns is easier to envision than Ball, Russell, Towns. Mm-hmm. And so from that perspective, it makes sense. But, you know, like, and I'm not disputing the bet. I mean, I'm already kind of locked into my position. I still think LaMelo's going one. I think there's one thing to consider. I mean, you have this weird also variable in this draft where Minnesota and Golden State would be happy to trade down. So there's an extra smokescreen. They're really trying to, you know, obfuscate their strategy because they're also trying to, you know, play leverage and negotiation for any potential trade talks around the pick. So I am very spooked by the reporting around what either of these teams might do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense to bring in Anthony Edwards because of, like you said, the fit in day one starter, and you can kind of keep the vision of your team as, you know, a Russell Towns pick and roll. But I personally would be looking for pure best player available and take LaMelo, but I don't, go ahead.
You're saying, and I feel the same way, but if they can't find a trade down,
it's looking like it's going to be Edwards if they can't find a trade down. So yeah.
Can't find a trade down. It's looking like it's going to be Edwards. And I just feel like you want to put a little quote unquote safe money in this, you know, within your betting portfolio for this draft, put a little money on Edwards.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it is worth considering the scenarios that are potentially at play. I mean, I'm surprised no one has talked about yet. Why wouldn't the Pelicans take all of these picks that they just got for Drew Holiday and the Anthony Davis picks and go say Minnesota and take LaMelo Ball? You have the Ball brothers and Zion. You're instantly the most relevant team in the NBA. I mean, that's one thought I've had. I mean, I don't get why they wouldn't do that.
Wow. No, I mean, I haven't seen anybody talking about that yet.
Yeah, like,
got all these draft picks, so there hasn't been a lot of, you know, theorizing around it yet. It's still pretty new, but that's really fun. I mean, that you get the Ball brothers in the backcourt
with Zion.
Zion, and then you have Brandon Ingram. I mean, that's fucking. That's really fun.
Yeah, that's the single. Also, like, just, I mean, I winning a championship is still the ultimate goal, but that's the single most marketable team in NBA history, I would say. Like, am I wrong? Like, they're so famous. I mean,
you make a very good. The potential is there for them being the most famous, most marketable. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of anti-Ball people out there after, you know, their dad turned a lot of people off, but still, you're right. It's a very marketable team. And for somebody like a team like New Orleans, who even our quote unquote biggest NBA Pelicans fan within our group, an SGPN, Zach Sims, he is a big Pelicans fan, but he, when we were doing our draft, he even said he hasn't been paying attention because he's only been worried about the Saints. New Orleans fans, they only worry about the Saints. So if you want to be relevant, That's a big play. He wouldn't be relevant in that city. Go ahead and take a big swing like that. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and there was also reporting in the Jonathan Givony mock draft last week that the OKC Thunder had, you know, sniffed around the number one pick too to get LaMelo. So, you know, maybe they could, they have an extra pick. They have Kelly Oubre. They have Ricky Rubio. I don't know if that any of that would be interesting in Minnesota, but so Anthony Edwards under 1.5, that was your pick.
Mm-hmm.
My next pick, and I'll give these out together. First one I had was Kira Lewis under 15.5. He's a point guard slash combo coming out of Alabama. Supposed to be a super high character kid, winner, great defender, athletic, really attacks the rim, great in transition. That's kind of his profile. But been a lot of reporting that he's rising in the draft, and with sort of the uncertainty around Killian Hayes and LaMelo Ball, there is some chatter that, you know, maybe Kira Lewis could be the best point guard in this draft. And I feel like that narrative has started to gain a little bit of spin. I saw in the Bleacher Report, Jonathan Wasserman from Bleacher Report, he does tend to have a good amount of intel during draft season. He said that, you know, a lot of scouts see Kira Lewis as a guy who could go higher than expected. He is reportedly in play for the Knicks at 8. So definitely a name to keep an eye on. I think he's a guy who sneaks into the late lottery. And so under 15.5, I think, is a good play.
People talking about how much they like his speed.
Yeah, his speed. Yeah, his speed. I kind of buried the lead. He's supposed to be like one of the quickest ball handlers, you know, ever.
Yeah.
Just a ridiculous athlete. So,
just that alone, I can see a team talking themselves into taking him in the lottery.
Yeah, and keep in mind, I think during this Zoom interview season and all that, like, he's supposed to be just a super, super impressive, bright kid. So definitely a guy that could go higher than expected. And then along those lines, I said player to be selected 8th overall. And I like this strategy a lot. I am throwing out 3 names at plus money. This is the Knicks pick, 8th overall. Devin Vassell plus 600, Isaac Okoro plus 350, and Kira Lewis plus 1300. And I would do the math on, I haven't done it yet, but, you know, equivalent bet splits to sort of hedge your position. Like obviously a small chunk on Lewis plus 1300. But yeah, the Knicks seem to be circling Vassell and Okoro with Lewis as sort of the dark horse at number 8. They want I took Devin Vassell for them in the NBA SGPN NBA mock draft. Consensus reporting out of New York, and you know, New York beat guys tend to have some good intels that they want a, you know, physical Tom Thibodeau-esque defensive presence on the wing. Already have Mitchell Robinson sort of slotted in at center, and RJ Barrett, you know, will take on the primary ball handling duty. I mean, that's really the only way he has a chance to be successful. So they're looking for a complimentary, you know, 3-and-D piece. Maybe Kira Lewis is a dark horse at point guard. But I think Vassell and Okoro are the top 2 likelihood guys. If Halliburton drops, I could see him factoring in here. But I like the plus money on Vassell and Okoro.
I like those picks for sure. And you know, you're the Knicks fan here, so I'll go ahead and go with what you think. This is not so much a pick that I have, but it's kind of an overall thought. You see Nico Mannion popping up with some crazy odds to go high, to go in the lottery, to go in the first round. I feel like you need to fade the public on this guy. He's popular with fans for good reason. He's fun to watch, red hair, whatever, but he's not popular with NBA scouts or teams from anything that I can see. Do you disagree?
No, I think this kid was like he was hyped up in high school. Definitely wasn't bad at Arizona, but yeah, I'm not that high on him. And he seems to have like a YouTube highlights zeitgeist kind of going on that's propping up his draft stock more than any sense that the NBA likes him.
Right. I definitely think he's a second rounder. So if you can get him, you know, get a, I haven't seen the odds on it, but if you get him as a second round pick. I would definitely lean that direction rather than a first rounder. Any other bets you want to talk about NBA draft? Those are all I had written down.
No, do you want to just run through these again so we can summarize for?
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's do this. So we like freshman drafted in the top 10 over 4.5 at +150. We like you had Patrick Williams under 7.5. I'm not seeing the odds on that. What was the odds on that?
I think it was like -140. I can go look. It was nothing that would nothing out of the ordinary.
Yep. I like Cole Anthony draft position at even odds under 20.5. I also like Anthony Edwards going under 1.5 at +130, if you can find that still. You want to read yours here?
Yeah, and then I had and this would probably be my lock if I had one, Kira Lewis under 15.5, and that was at -140. Player to be selected fourth overall where the Chicago Bulls currently sit, Tyrese Haliburton, 25-1. Definitely think that's worth, you know, sandwich money.
Mm-hmm.
And player to be selected eighth overall with adequate staking to, you know, correct for the line differences, Isaac Okoro +350, Devin Vassell +600, and Kira Lewis +1300 for the eighth overall pick where the Knicks currently sit.
Absolutely. And before we totally move off of draft stuff and go into free agency talk, I just wanted to plug Jeff Fox's latest article on our website, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. It's titled Top 10 NBA Draft Picks Aren't as Valuable as You Think. We all get fans, teams, scouts alike really can talk themselves into thinking that a draft pick is going to save your franchise when the numbers show that they don't necessarily make as much of a impact as you're going to think. So Jeff went back, looked at total win shares per 48 minutes, and saw at what pick number in the top 10 are you most likely to get an average player or an above average player. Turns out, what would you guess, Zach, is the best odds at getting an average or above average player by win shares?
I would probably guess the second or third pick.
The third pick, yeah.
Yeah.
You have 80% odds of getting a average player in the top 10. This is over the last 10 years. 70% at number one. Number two is 20%. Number two picks over the last 10 years, as far as win shares goes, have been shit, so sorry, Warriors.
But I think in general, like it as long as there are enough good players to go around, my personality type, like I wouldn't want to be number one because you have to like stake your claim. Mm-hmm. You have to stake your opinion on which. I mean, you know, you have the pick of the litter, but you have to stake your opinion. Like if you're three, like if you're Charlotte in this draft, you just like wait till whoever falls to you. You're like, all right, like we're not going to look bad because we didn't stake our opinion on the guys above, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, go ahead and go to sg.pn, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Check out the NBA tab. You'll find Jeff's article. You also find our mock draft, which I will be updating up to the minute of the draft with the latest odds and any insight that I find. So definitely make sure to check out our website and our Slack for draft stuff. Another quick break and we'll be right back. Come prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. With Thrive, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus only on the top tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. If you're playing an NFL contest, all you have to do is choose 10 out of 20 available player props to build your lineup. Each prop is assigned a fantasy value, for the over and the under based on how likely it is to hit the most props, rack up the most points to share a part of the prize pool. So use promo code SGP when you sign up today and you will receive an instant match up to $50 on your first deposit. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store or by visiting their website, thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today and don't forget to use promo code SGP. We're totally moving topics here, and I'm going to let Zach take over because I feel like I'm going to get a little emotional during this. So Zach, what team would you first like to talk about with these trades that have been going on?
Yeah, I mean, like, just first of all, I mean, like, the amount of player movement, like we said earlier, just absolutely awesome. I mean, do you want to go in order of how we have it on the dock? But that would leave Chris Paul to the end. I know that might be a little tough for you.
Yeah, that's all right. Let's start with the
Milwaukee Bucks. I think that is a proper place to start because they've made the most concrete all-in push of anybody so far. And look, I gotta say, I have a ton of respect for the Bucks front office. I think I see them as somewhat of a soft team, like, in general, just what I've seen from them in the playoffs with Coach Budenholzer. But you have to respect, they put their nuts on the table and said, we will do anything we can to win a title with Giannis Antetokounmpo. So shout out to them. You know, if you haven't seen, they got Drew Holiday for Bledsoe and George Hill, and then, you know, a bunch of draft compensation, 3 first round picks, 2 draft swaps, although the swaps probably won't come into play. And then they also got Bogdan and Bogdanovic in the middle of the night for Dante DiVincenzo. So you say they had the best starting five in the league. Why is that?
I feel like they right now, there's no weak spot in their starting five. I love Bogdanovic as the 3-point marksman. Giannis, for him flaming out in the bubble, still arguably one of the best 2 players in the league. Chris Middleton is an all NBA level player. Brooke Lopez is a stretch, you know, one of the best stretch threes, one of the best defensive fives, one of the best stretch fives, one of the best defensive fives in the league this last season. And then Drew Holiday, who, you're right, he's going to make this team so much tougher. That's a good point, is I feel like the Bucks have been a bit of a soft team. Holiday brings a toughness to them and a leadership from a veteran perspective. Who has a more complete starting five than that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, on paper right now, it's hard to dispute it. I mean, I think if the Nets do get James Harden, they'll have a good say in that matter, just on paper. And we'll talk about that later. I mean, look, it's undeniable this Bucks team is going to be really good. You know, they were really good last year. I just think, in terms of what their weakness really was, when it comes down to it, it was, you know, toughness in the playoffs and inability to adjust their style in the playoffs. And they didn't really have that dog type player who could go get a bucket in isolation, because Giannis still hasn't proven he could be that guy. You look at, like, Chris Middleton had to take on a feature role for them in that Heat series. Obviously Giannis got hurt, but, you know, I think if you see what the package was for Chris Paul and you see what the package was for Drew Holiday, and I just don't really understand that decision by the Bucks. Now, it's obviously
Eric Bledsoe is not a good player.
But they gave up. I mean, their future is completely cooked. I mean, obviously they have a chance to win a championship, but I thought they would have had a better chance to win a championship with Chris Paul. Now, obviously, Chris Paul wanted to go to Phoenix, so maybe he wasn't available. But look, their base case is still going to be like, okay, Giannis puts his head down, driving, kicking out to shooters in the playoffs. I still don't think this team is a bona fide playoff threat after what I've seen from them. I don't think they changed that much. I mean, like, yeah, what will Drew Holiday do more than Eric Bledsoe other than make marginally more 3-pointers? I think Eric Bledsoe is somewhat of a poor...
better defender than Eric Bledsoe. He is Eric Bledsoe, I feel like, is... I feel like he's more of a problem off the court because he thinks he's a superstar and he's not. And Drew Holiday doesn't act like that at all. I think he's more of a team player. I think he'll bring more of a veteran presence there, where I do think that Bledsoe, I know that the narrative around the Bucks all season was how close they were as a team, but I just don't see it with him. And maybe it's just my perspective as like, I hated him when he came. I loved him until he came to the Suns. I hated him on the Suns. He pushed his way out of the Suns. And I don't know. I don't see him. I think they made a mistake in the first place of giving him a big contract instead of keeping Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think there's no doubt. I mean, I think I definitely am bearing the lead. Their starting five is really, really good. I mean, a big issue for them now is they have six players and they're up against the hard cap. They are not going to be able to add anybody above a minimum contract to the rest of this team. So, and that includes filling out their entire bench depth. And you know, Mike Budenholzer likes his bench. So
We were saying in some of our Bucks fans on our NBA Slack were saying like, they need to save Budenholzer from himself. He plays his bench too deep. He loves to play his bench players. He can't eat. Take away his bench, make him play his starters. The Lakers, we talked about this after the Lakers won it all. This league is now all about mercenaries. Forget about your homegrown, you know, deep bench players. It's all about getting the best players for your starting five and then playing the shit out of them.
Yeah, but it's not about, I agree with you, but you still need two or three guys off the bench and maybe four or five for the regular season. Like, keep in mind, they're going to be fourth in line for ring chasing minimum guys. Like, if you're a ring chaser on a minimum, you're looking at either LA team or Brooklyn before you're moving to Milwaukee in the middle of COVID. So, you know,
I disagree. I would.
Wow.
I'm number one. Yeah, I would go to the Lakers, but number two, I would go to the Bucks. I would not go to the potential soap opera that the Nets are going to become. I mean, yeah, those on paper, you love those superstar names, but that could implode very easily.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would factor more in the city that you're living in than the like marginal differences between the situations. I think you're very right. All it takes is two guys to convincing three or four guys. And then from then on, you don't really care. Maybe they could get like a Jared Dudley. He enjoyed his time with Giannis. Had to throw a little love my boy JD. But yeah, I mean, look, I respect the hell out of these trades because it shows that they're solely concerned winning a championship. And this is what all fans want every team to do, right? People hate the process. They hate rebuilding. They want every team to try to win at all times. And credit to them.
Here's the thing. They had to put their nuts on the table because if they didn't and they flamed out in the playoffs again, they lose Giannis and their future is fucked anyway. I mean, you say they fucked their future by giving up so many draft picks. If they lose Giannis, they're fucked no matter what.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think in terms of like fucking, I mean, they're going to be scrapping together a team. And look, if Drew Holiday extends, and they have Chris Middleton, Giannis, and Drew. I mean, they'll be fine scrapping together a team around that, but they're going to be, you know, doing what the Warriors were doing. And I feel like you saw, like, at the end of a five-year run, like, that all, you know, you start to wear down, and then you end up, you know, you have Andrew Bogut coming back over from Australia to, like, save your center rotation and at the trade deadline. And that's obviously 5 years away. That's obviously – they're 5 years away from that.
This is a way – yeah. I think they're thinking about this next year, and we saw our big, at least my big complaint with the Lakers all season was they didn't have bench depth, they didn't have the role players, and I was completely wrong. And so I guess I'm looking at it through that lens right now. I don't care as much about the role players and the bench depth.
Yeah, I agree with you, although I think last year's title is a lot easier to win than this year's title is going to be. If that makes sense. I think there are going to be a lot more threats this year.
Okay. I feel like that's maybe true. What do you think about their odds being at plus 500 now to win the championship?
I mean, I, there's no, I, I'm still not a believer in the Bucks. So I'll put it that way. I would have rather much rather see them get Chris Paul than Drew Holiday. And you know, Bogdanovich is nice, but I still think I like the Nets in the East definitely over them. I still think
600 rather than the Bucks at plus 500.
I mean, obviously you want to wait to see what happens right now with Harden. I mean, I guess you're like betting on the rumor, but look, to me, if Milwaukee gets into a playoff series with Boston, Toronto, or Miami, I still think all those teams are going to be salivating at the chance to compete against Giannis. And he's just not a competitor in the playoffs in the way that you need to be to like take advantage of what this team should be. That's my opinion. I understand, you know, a lot of people love Giannis. I still like, if you're asking me tomorrow who win a playoff series between the Heat and this Bucks team or the Celtics, I would have a hard time picking Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I'm on an island there.
I get it. No, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I just feel like Giannis has another level to go. He's still a young player, and a lot of the greats flamed out in the playoffs until they won it all. And then we forget about that, you know?
Very true. Very true.
So let's talk about, I mean, the Blazers looks like they acquired Robert Covington. That is a nice piece for them, but not necessarily one to talk about.
Yeah, well, what do you think about this from the Pelicans angle? I think clearly great, great, great business for them. And they extracted a lot of assets.
Yeah.
And I think George Hill is more likely to be seen as positive value. They could probably flip him to a contender for another asset. I think Drew Holiday never fit with this timeline of this team. I mean, I understand they wanted to be like, oh yeah, let's keep him in for the culture and chase the playoffs. But you know, I like making the asset play now.
I 100% agree. I like this play for the Pelicans. I think it's a win on both. It's one of those trades where I think it's a win on both sides.
Yep.
Think that they can trade away George Hill to a contender, probably, you know, mid-season. They'll get some, you know, nice draft pick back for him or something like that. Or like a second round draft pick. Eric Bledsoe, I don't know. I mean, I could see him being unhappy on this team. I do feel like they would probably want to get rid of him, but he has such a big contract. I don't see another team taking it on. I mean, I would much rather them have the ball in Lonzo's hands and see him develop as a star rather than Bledsoe. I guess they play him as the two guard. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what Stan Van Gundy wants to do, because he's kind of, I feel like there's a decent chance that he's like, we need to play defense and like, you know, I don't want these young players like learning how to play defense or whatever. But so I could see a scenario where they like start Bledsoe at the one.
First of all, I think before you move on, an amazing Stan Van Gundy impression by you just now.
Thank you.
I thought I was immediately talking to Stan Van Gundy on the line suddenly.
But yeah, like I could see them going either direction. I think, like you said, Why would anyone really want Eric Bledsoe? I don't know. I mean, he's not that bad. We're underrating him. He averaged like 14-6-6 last year. He's a good defender.
But he doesn't totally fit their timeline either. He's what?
100%. Yeah.
So
he wouldn't be a long-term piece. I'm just saying, you know, NBA, like they might still want to have a, you know, whatever, for 25 minutes a game, Eric Bledsoe.
You know what? I'll go ahead and I'll just admit my bias is I just don't like him. So I shouldn't. People shouldn't listen to me on Eric Bledsoe opinion.
Do you want to? Should we get into these Nets Harden rumors?
Okay, let's get into it. Yeah, this is the part of the podcast that can go completely off the rails. But then don't worry, we'll bring it back on the rails for the Suns Thunder trade at the end here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I definitely. And don't underrate that Covington deal. I like that for the Blazers, and I also like it for the Rockets. You know, they got two first round picks out of Covington, so definitely a good move. But that leads me to believe that Harden is on his way out.
It's a fire sale in Houston, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fire sale. It will be eventually. I think they are going to try to play hardball with James for now. Obviously, just an epic Woj bomb with that "Get me to Brooklyn," tweet. But look, I mean, it's very, very fascinating what's going on. I mean, has 2 years left on his deal and is essentially, it seems like, you know, just saying I want out and I don't want to be here. But what do you think of the potential fit with Harden on the Nets? Because I'm very,
before we talk about that, sorry. I feel like what superstar hasn't been able to push their way out of a situation. I feel like it took Anthony Davis a year longer than he wanted to push his way out of the Pelicans. But I feel like this is such a superstar driven league. If he's unhappy, he's going to push his way out.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think there's this emerging discussion of like, look, players are too empowered. Like the NBA needs to curtail this. Look, the game is the game. Like it's entertaining like this, you know, as fans, like this is just how it's going. You know, there's nothing we can do about it at this point. I think the game is the game. Like front offices need to adapt. But look, I agree with you. I think players get out, but also it usually works out for the team trading, because what they're also superstars are doing now is they're applying pressure to the other team. Like if you look at Kawhi, he, you know, basically extracted from the Clippers all that draft compensation, saying, if you want me to come here, you have to go get Paul George. Mm-hmm. And LeBron said to the Lakers, you have to go get AD. Like, I came here, you have to go get AD. And AD said, I only want to go to the Lakers. So it works out for the other team, for that team too now. Mm-hmm. That's why I think what's really fascinating here, in my personal opinion, this is not reported, I think that Woj article, that leak, came just as much from Kyrie and KD as it did from Harden. Because definitely, right? Because I think they're squaring up with the Brooklyn front office saying, go get this guy and Harden. And so if you're the Rockets, you could be patient, because who really is going to apply pressure here is Kyrie and KD saying, Brooklyn, we won't be happy if you don't get him. Because while the Rockets can kind of sit tight and wait this out, they don't have to do anything. Brooklyn is on the clock now. So I think a lot of the leverage that's actually with this trade deal is coming in Brooklyn's front office. So when the player makes the trade request, the team isn't getting fucked, because there's actually more pressure on the other team, which is usually a win now contender, who has to go get this guy to keep their superstar happy. So yeah. It's like a chain reaction.
Absolutely. I think that the Rockets can get a haul, obviously, for him. And what they get, like Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, a bunch of picks. I mean,
yeah, all the picks. Like the Rockets could just say, like,
and all the picks. I mean, I think they can pretty much request anything they want, and they can have like a nice little young team to rebuild around. Before we totally move to the Nets, what do they do with Westbrook? Is he left alone on this team with these young players?
Yeah, I mean, that's the very interesting part about this fire sale concept, is it's going to be really hard to move Westbrook. So like, I feel like there's a decent chance that they already traded Covington. If they trade Harden, they trade PJ Tucker, and then it's just Westbrook sitting there with like a young team around him. I think it's going to be really tough to move him.
I thought that, and this was before the Harden stuff came out, but Bill Simmons had an interesting theory about trading Westbrook to the Pistons, and then at least the Pistons can tell their fans, like, look, we have two superstars in Blake Griffin and Westbrook, you know, because they've had a lot of trouble with keeping their fans, selling tickets.
I feel like NBA fans aren't that dumb anymore. I feel like that's an outdated idea. Like, and I want to talk about this when as it pertains to James Harden with the Nets too. But like, I feel like no one would be I don't think Hornets fans want to like give up a pick for James for Russell Westbrook to make them relevant. You know,
as a gambler, what do you do with Houston right now?
I don't think it's worth trying to get on either side of this. I think because they could keep Harden, but then maybe they keep him, but he like refuses to play. There's just way too many variables. I probably wouldn't I wouldn't. I haven't actually looked. I mean, if their win total is still really high, maybe you just go under because it seems like it's going to be a bad situation, or at least not. They're not going to be a playoff team. I mean, so that might be a good idea.
If you can find a book that hasn't moved their win total, definitely hit the under. Have you ever thought of starting your own sportsbook but don't know how? Ace Per Head is here to help you start your own sportsbook. They'll provide you with an all-inclusive professional betting site with all the lines updated to the second and wagers graded immediately. They have top-notch customer support going 24/7 and some of the sharpest lines in the industry. Plus, Ace Per Head offers live betting and an amazing mobile experience. Get started today, and Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free. Just go to aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. So let's get to it. Brooklyn. Let's assume that Harden goes there and they lose LeVert, Dinwiddie. Maybe they are able to keep Allen, but they lose like a lot of draft picks. What do you think about that team?
I think it would be absolutely incredible. I think they would be a fucking juggernaut.
Problems with Kyrie and Harden wanting the ball much.
Like, look, and I just tweeted this right before we got in the pod, and I think it's such like a hot button issue. So I'm glad. Are we on opposite sides of this? Are you bearish on them?
I don't think that I have like. I mean, I've been saying that I don't want to get excited about even before the Harden stuff. I've been a non-believer in totally jumping into the Nets until we see how that ego situation plays out. And now you're adding one of the biggest egos in the league to two already huge egos. I think it could explode or it could be amazing. I don't know. I Kyrie and Harden are both going to have to play completely different than they have been.
Yeah. And I totally agree with that. But I think like what people are missing is like, I think they know that. Like, I don't think they're going into this situation being like, oh yeah, like I'm going to, like, I think they all know that if they wanted to get together, they would have to make sacrifices. And it seems like they're working out to get.
You might be giving the players too much credit. Like,
I don't think they're dumb.
Chris Paul was a better fit for James Harden than Russell Westbrook was. And Harden still made sure to push Chris Paul out of there and get Westbrook in there because he was his buddy. And sometimes I think they're buddies.
I don't know. I mean, when Russell Westbrook was healthy, I thought they were a bona fide championship contender last year. I didn't think the Westbrook experience went that badly once they went small.
So it went that badly. I still think the Paul team was better.
Yeah, the Paul team was better. I mean, that's not – I mean, I just think these guys are all really smart. They have Steve Nash. Like, and I think that's another discussion we should have after this. But like I think everyone knows there's only one ball. I think people are jumping to that conclusion. Like, oh, how will they play together? I think they know that. I think, you know, and I just tweeted this out before we got on the podcast. It's absolutely fascinating to me. People are so low on the possibility of this big three getting together. Like I genuinely did not see a single person who, if this were 10 years ago, we would be, this team would be on the cover of Sports Illustrated saying best offense ever ? Mm-hmm. Like the way we saw the game 10 years ago, and we have moved so far in the opposite direction that there are only a few people out there who are like, yeah, this is going to be great. Pairing three of flat out the greatest offensive players, you know, in my lifetime. And yes, like they're going to have to learn to play together, but they all have a high basketball IQ. I think they would figure it out. I think the most likely outcome by a lot is that it would work. Like, I think there is I think like where we should be is like, everyone should be loving this move. And then there's like a few people on the island who are like, yeah, like they might not fit great, but it's actually the opposite, where everyone thinks it would fail because of the theoretical fit issues. Go ahead.
For me, it's not one.
No, I'm not. I think you're very balanced on it. I think you see both sides.
Yeah, I see both sides. And I think it's the people who think it's going to implode completely. I think that's wrong. And the people I think that the thing is going to be a home run, I also think that's wrong, at least the first year. Durant, I have every confidence in Durant to make it, to make the right basketball decision and make it fit. We saw that with the Warriors. I think that Harden is the same. I do think that Harden understands and will make it work and can change his play to fit that. The person I most question is Kyrie. What was the last good basketball decision Kyrie made? I mean, he blew up those Celtics teams, and then they couldn't even have him on the court for the Nets last season. I mean, maybe the first Celtics season he was good. When was the last time he was really Kyrie?
No, he's totally obviously the most volatile option, the most volatile of the three. And I think obviously his mood swings could be, and there's no doubt it'll be a very, very difficult job for Steve Nash in his first year to try to manage those. Try to manage those personalities. I think what would be the most likely outcome is, like you said, I think Durant would be like, okay, I'm coming off this injury and I know that to make this work, someone has to be Chris Bosh, and I'll be that at first. Like, I think Durant would be willing to be the most mature one and like say, I'm willing to deny the ball in my hands as much. I'll just spot up. But then I could see as the year goes along, KD's like, okay, well, I'm better than Kyrie. Like, why am I in the Chris Bosh role, being, you know, the third man out of the big three? So, of course, the personalities are potentially, volatile. And I think we've come to the right answer, which is that, like, it'll probably work, but there's also a lot of downside.
Now, when you say, like, most people are down on this, I think it's most people on NBA Twitter. It's like
NBA Twitter is down on it.
It's mostly the hardcore basketball nerds. I think the average fan, if this does happen and makes huge headlines, they're going to all be in. And I think a lot of bets are going to come in on the side of the Nets. The public's going to bet them heavily. I would take the other side, you know?
I'm obviously, I think you could tell I'm going to be really high on the Nets. I am high on them. And if they do get they do get Harden, I'll be even higher on them. I wrote this on the doc, like 10 years ago, this Nets team would be all that. And this Bucks team would be like a cute, maybe like a playoff contender. And now, like, we're, like you said, NBA Twitter, like, these analytic basketball nerds, like the Bucks are like this elite team, and they're like, yeah, the Nets are gonna fucking suck. Yeah. It's very fine. That's obviously a polarized view of it, but it's very interesting. And look, for Steve Nash, if I'm them, I kind of regret that hire. If the pressure's that high to win a title in year one, with like that's very, very risky. But if this does happen, I think.
Wait, who regrets that hire?
The Nets.
Why is that?
Like, I would have much preferred someone who you're certain will give you like at least the league average. There's just so many unknowns with Steve Nash. Like, I would much rather have Tyronn Lue, for instance, and just be like, okay, like I know what I'm getting. But I think I think Steve Nash has an offensive vision, like, for this team and how they're going to play.
I think Steve Nash has a much higher ceiling as a coach than like a Ty Lue.
Yes, I agree with you. I think that was a little strong wording. I don't think they regret the hire, because I think obviously if KD and Kyrie wanted, you had no choice. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like whatever vision that the coaching staff has for this team, you really have to throw that out. And the way that they're going to play is whatever works to get these guys to work and play together. Like, if that makes sense. Like, I think how they play will be entirely a organic discovery of an equilibrium that somehow fits for all three of them together. I don't think you're going to be able to impart, like, okay, James, like, you get in the corner, now you're popping off this screen. And like, I really think if you have to just roll the ball out and say, like, you guys have to figure this out yourselves. And then once you figure it out, that's the way we're going to play. So I do feel kind of feel bad for Steve Nash in that way, because I don't think these guys are all such veterans that they want to play together. They know how they can play. Like, you're not imparting a vision on this team and like getting them to, you know, like run some modern like spacing and motion offense.
Yeah, I mean, I get it from that perspective, but
it's a lot on his plate. It's a lot on his plate for year one.
On his plate, but I feel like Nash as a player had to deal with some volatile players, some superstar egos, and he did a pretty good job as a point guard. So we'll see. I don't know. Again, there's a lot of factors up in the air. If Harden does end up going there, my early money will be on fading them. But could be wrong. I don't know. By the time this comes out, five things can change. So we might.
Should
move on.
If he goes there, it'll be absolutely fucking nuts. So that's the last thing I'll say. But you take the lead on this CP3 to Phoenix deal, because it's a big step up to potentially being the 5 seed in the West.
Okay, so. I mean, my phone has been blowing up for the last, when did this, I don't even know what day it is. This happened yesterday, right? My phone's been blowing up for the last 24 hours. I'm putting on my Homer hat is on a little bit, but I absolutely love this trade for the Suns. And I think it is a decent trade for the Thunder too. I feel like let's look at it from the Thunder side. They knew that they wanted to go young. They knew they weren't going to have Chris Paul on their team again this next season. They wanted to focus on young talent. So they got a pretty good haul back for a second team all NBA point guard. They got Ricky Rubio, who's has shown that he is a starting level point guard. Kelly Oubre showed a lot of improvement last year on the Suns. He's still young. He can still be a really good piece. He has a long way to go. I think coaching is a big thing for him because he's a little bit of a head case, but we'll see how that goes. Ty Jerome, I know a lot of people who were big college basketball fans love him. I never saw the big potential there. I feel like he's a totally replaceable point guard, but that's a fine piece to throw in. And then I got a G Leaguer, Jalen Leck, who I learned calls himself Baby Westbrook, which makes me hate him even more. I didn't even know who he was, but he was playing on the G League team. And they got a 2022 first round pick. Gut reaction, how does that haul sound for Chris Paul to you?
I think it's nice. I think, like you said, I like this deal for both sides. It's a little bit underwhelming maybe because I feel like the people really thought Chris Paul was like the second best point guard in the NBA this year. At this moment, it might be a little underwhelming, but also like if you think about a year ago, if you would have told the Thunder, okay, you're going to turn CP3 into more assets than you already got for Westbrook. That's a complete win for their organization. So you get Kelly Oubre, maybe Oubre and Rubio could be used to get more future assets. You get that first round pick. You know, Ty Jerome didn't show much in year one. He had some injuries, but you know, obviously another first round talent. You could try to develop him. They brought up their assistant coach who has a history in the G League. So they clearly have a player development focus. So I think this package works out really nicely for them. And they even have the option, like if they want to try to compete still, you know, you have Ricky Rubio, you have Danny Green, obviously you still have Shai there, you still have Lou Dort there, you still have Steven Adams there. So I like it for the Thunder, and I like it even more for the Suns. I mean,
yeah,
just you get a elite point guard to sort of shepherd this young team forward into their next generation as they try to rise up the West.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that there's no other way to look at it than a positive for the Suns. I mean, you took three quarters and turned it into a dollar for me. Like he showed that he can still play at a very high level and he can play with younger players and develop them. Okay, one. Two, the Suns had to make a huge swing. Just for the same reason that the Bucks had to make a huge swing, the Suns had to make a huge swing to keep Booker there. Like, if the Suns languished in mediocrity again next season, Booker would definitely push his way out. Who knows? He still might push his way out. But at least this gives them a great chance of making the playoffs, making a big splash in the playoffs. And they got rid of – they didn't want to play Oubre anymore. I don't think they wanted to pay Ricky Rubio's contract. So that freed up some money there to get a star like Chris Paul. And it freed up a lot of wing minutes for the young star, their young up-and-comers like Bridges and Cam Johnson. And we haven't even touched on the fact that this is going to be huge for the development of DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton could go completely nuclear with a point guard like Chris Paul running the show, you know?
Yeah, and I think what's also so nice is that because of Chris Paul's ability to shoot and his experience playing with another ball-dominant guard in Shai Gilgeous and Schroeder last year, you're not really worried about taking the ball out of Devin Booker's hands too much here. You know, this is a step forward for everybody on their roster. I think it's like there's nobody on the Suns who you're really concerned with, like, oh, will they fit? Like, Chris Paul is a great fit with the rest of their starting lineup. You still have the opportunity to put the ball in Devin Booker's hands. But like you said, if not, you have a fantastic pick and roll game with Ayton and CP3, mm-hmm. you know, surrounded by shooters. If you have Booker, Johnson, and Bridges around the arc, I mean, that's pretty unstoppable right there as just a base offensive play with obviously the point god running that pick and roll. So, yeah. You know, I think – go ahead.
And I think Monty Williams showed last year that he can get Devin Booker to play – less like a ball dominant star and give up the ball more for the better of the team. And he Booker's game overall, totally more efficient all last season. If he's willing to do that with Ricky Rubio, he's going to be even more willing to do that with a star like Chris Paul.
Yeah, exactly. And I think all reporting indicates that he was on board with this. He wanted this trade to happen. Him and CP3 wanted to play together. So, just like, I think it's a great move for the Suns. I don't even think they think that it makes them a championship contender. I don't think anyone's really deluded that that's the case, but they're definitely, looking like a playoff team.
I think they're a championship contender. No, you're right. They're not a championship contender, but
they're going to be good. They're going to be really good. They have a chance to be really good.
I think it extends their timeline with Booker. Like, if they're able to make the playoffs this year and make a little noise, if they're able to take that bubble Suns energy, add Chris Paul, I don't know. I think that they can really make some noise in the West. And at that point, why would Booker leave? I mean, he's under contract for more. The Suns can pay him more than other teams. So
totally.
I like the idea of it all around. So any haters on there for this Suns move, you're wrong.
Yeah. And look, I think, like, I mean, what the reality is, if as long as Chris Paul stays healthy, they're probably going to be, you know, at least okay for the next couple of years, probably pretty good, but you're still a young team. And like, but maybe by the time CP3 is off his current contract, you have, you know, Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton as bona fide superstars in the middle of their prime, and then you get another point guard to sort of take the next step. But I think it allows you to keep developing, but also start to win a little bit.
Right. And they have their draft pick now, and there's a lot
tomorrow of... Tomorrow night, 10th pick. Big pick. And tomorrow night, the 10th pick is a really big asset for them.
Yeah, that's a really big... So there's a lot of good point guards in this draft. I mean, not like... Again, I feel like this draft is deep with point guards. Maybe not the level of talent you would like, but they could get a Killian Hayes. You know, no telling what point guard might fall to them, and they could, that point guard could really learn a ton as the backup to Chris Paul.
That's such a good point. I hadn't even thought about it. And if you get a Killian Hayes or a Kira Lewis, who are thought to be really high upside point guards and mm-hmm. you get them in to learn behind the point guard, could be a really, really good situation. That could be a great situation.
What do you think about their win total moving up five game? Oh, no, three games. It went from
3 games, yeah.
And a half to 38 and a half.
I like it. I think that sounds about right. I still haven't totally adjusted my mindset to the 72 game. It's out of 72. But look, I think, yeah, Chris Paul probably worth about 3 games. I mean, he's probably going to miss some time. Most likely, I think you have to expect that he will not play every game this season. But that's the nature of the beast. And look, they had Devin Booker. They're good enough to survive, you know, some injuries.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, we've been going for a while. I feel like
that was epic.
That was a long podcast. Is there anything else you want to throw in?
No. But yeah, I'm definitely available to do something tomorrow night after the draft or later this week. So
yep.
We'll be able to get back, but this was awesome.
Yep. Definitely. Follow Zach at NBA Zach B. Follow me at the Ryan McKee. We'll be tweeting what we're doing around the draft. Make sure to check out sportsgamblingpodcast.com for all our draft coverage. Join our Slack channel at sg.pn/Slack. That's where you want to be. Definitely for the NBA stuff, if you want all the up to the minute stuff we're doing and all the news breaks and any gambling advice, not just from Zach and I, but we've got a ton of smart guys on there who have a lot of great picks. So we'll be back soon.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.